Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports. And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
But he has a shock in store for him. He has two great chances, Slim and None, and Slim's out of town.
Pedro Fernandez.
I wanted to do the right thing.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar sports byline studios here in the city by the bay, San Francisco. Check it. This is Ring Talk. Often imitated and never duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your modest host. Of course, I'm also an award-winning writer, four-time Golden Glove champion. I know my way around the ring. So for the next 2 hours here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, and of course, live on Twitch.tv, of course, the Sports Byline USA channel. We're talking combat sports, meaning mainly boxing. We'll fit in some MMA, of course. Conor McGregor getting smoked like a blunt last week. That was sort of good. I think that he's a fraud to begin with as far as his boxing ability is concerned. He wanted to fight Manny Pacquiao, and now Manny Pacquiao has been sort of stripped of his WBA crown, and they're calling him a champion in recess. I don't know what that means, but the bottom line is Manny Pacquiao, still a star at 42 years old. They're going to do an exhibition with Ryan Garcia, of course, the heir apparent to greatness in my mind. Talk about the kid from Central California, Victorville. Undefeated, 23-0, like 18, 19 stops. Of course, knocking everybody out. Knocked out Luke Campbell with that body shot a fortnight ago. Looking all good after getting up off the deck in the second round. So at the end of the day, it's going to be an exhibition. I'm against exhibitions. I'll tell you why, because I don't know. It's just exhibition. A wrestling match is an exhibition. The California State Athletic Commission considers a wrestling match an exhibition. In other words, I don't want to see these guys fight each other with big fat gloves on. And we saw that a couple months ago, of course, with Mike Tyson and Roy Jones. We don't need to see a repeat of that. Seriously, exhibitions, let them go. Let's have some real fights. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. We'll reach out to the Godfather, of course, the retired HBO Godfather Larry Merchant, and talk Sonny Liston in detail in hour number two. So straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your show.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go. We're burning daylight.
Ah, I feel good. James Brown, the Godfather of Soul. Of course, we always use that music to bring in the retired HBO Godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant, a.k.a. the husband of Patricia Stitch Merchant. How are you this morning, sir, and how's the Godmama?
We're doing good, Pedro. And by the way, I don't know if I ever told you that I saw James Brown in a performance on a Paris street outside of the center of Paris, and there were people, including us, hanging from the trees and from buildings and so on, listening to James Brown in Paris.
Did you know he was a boxer of sort?
I didn't really know that.
Well, I'm joking, Godfather. What I'm trying to say is he knocked out Tammy Terrell about 15 or 20 times. He was a singer with Motown. He was a very violent man. I mean, I met him one time in Oakland, California. I was backstage and got to watch him go out on the stage and do his thing, but he wasn't a great human being.
Well, there are not a lot of us who are, but it doesn't excuse that kind of behavior.
Exactly. Questions for Larry Merchant. What the preps? I get these and I forget them during the week. But when you did an HBO show, if I don't feel butterflies before I do this show, if I didn't have butterflies before every fight that I had, I didn't one time and I got licked like a stamp. I'm not on par. I'm not there. Is that the way it was with you? Did you feel butterflies each time that the show went on?
No, never.
Wow.
Last time I had butterflies is when I was playing high school football and I was kicking off, and I had some, you know, a little bit of anxiety before a game started, but I'm not much of a butterfly guy.
Okay. Don King, the world's greatest promoter with an asterisk next to that, had a show on Friday night in Godfather. It wasn't worth stealing.
I'm not shocked. Is he in the kind of physical health that could energize one of his mediocre shows?
No.
Or is this just a thing by people around him?
We're not talking mediocre. We're not talking. Now, if it was mediocre, I'd say, oh, yeah, it was a mediocre show. Oh, no. It wasn't mediocre. It was piss poor. And that's the best way I can describe it. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, he pulled off some scams where he convinced the WBA by not taking Manuel Char over here from Germany. He wouldn't give Manuel Char a contract. So without a contract, he couldn't get a visa to get on a plane. So he couldn't get on a plane to leave Germany. He can't come over to the United States and fight. So what did King do? King had him semi-stripped and had a vacant interim title put together. I mean, it's cagey old Don King to an extent, but, you know, the results aren't there. In other words, there was no excitement. It was a battle of the breasts. In other words, one guy was like 38D and the other guy was 48F.
Well, Don King had an extraordinary career, but I think it's not just the old Don King, it's the dead Don King as far as promoting is concerned.
Okay. Moving on to another subject, Canelo Alvarez, of course, going to have that fight in February, of course, against the number one WBC contender, and then he's going to fight with Billy Joe Saunders in May, and then it looks like he's going to fight the guy that won last night, the Caleb who won last night, the young man that won last night against Callum Smith. So what I'm trying to say is, I'm getting all this heat from Mexican fans, and I get it through Hector Martinez because he's into the Mexican media and this and that, and they're really dogging Canelo. They think Canelo should fight guys like Charlo and maybe Triple G again and stuff like that. They want to see real fights. They're tired of seeing this Eddie Hearn promotion where Eddie gets one guy from across the pond and one guy over here and he's able to pimp both sides for viewers.
Well, isn't Saunders one of the opponents, and he's a guy in his early 30s who's never been beaten?
This is true. I mean, I'm not.
But I mean, what's wrong with that?
Okay, granted, no wrong.
I want to tell you something. When Henry Armstrong and Sugar Ray Robinson, back in their days, they didn't fight the top guy every time. And that was a time when money was scarce and they had to fight a lot to live a lot. I am very excited about Canelo's plan to fight three or four times next year. If that's every 3 months, that's a big deal. Maybe it will inspire other top fighters to fight more. But if I know that Canelo is fighting every 3 or 4 months and I have something to look forward to, I think that's a really good thing for boxing. There are guys out there he should fight, like Charlo and like, I forget who, but maybe they're demanding too much money. Maybe the promoters want stuff that they're not going to get. I don't know.
Okay.
But I'm glad that Canelo is going to be out there and wants to be great, and maybe he's answering the cries of his people to fight more, but I think it would be a great thing for the comeback of boxing after the pandemic that he has fought 3 or 4 times in a year.
Good point. Larry Merch is our guest, who was talking about the pound-for-pound king, Canelo Alvarez, once-beaten man from Mexico. Of course, the WBA, WBA, everything, as far as 168 pounds is current, except for that WBO belt held by the aforementioned Billy Joe Saunders. How do I put this? I guess Mexican fans want more blood and guts, huh?
I think Canelo is of the new generation of Mexican fighters. A lot of them have fought in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
and they don't ignore boxing anymore. There are very few guys who come along who can be Chavez. And maybe Chavez spoiled him. There were other fighters who were great at the drama of boxing and from Mexico. But the times have changed. And Canelo was an indication that that whatever trade agreements we have with Mexico is working out very well in the boxing world.
Okay, and some people think NAFTA isn't working, but the Godfather says it is. You have a pleasant Sunday, you and the Godmama. Have a great day, and I will talk to you soon, sir. I thank you for your time each and every week. God bless you, Larry.
Thank you, and don't drive down Highway 1.
Okay, good enough. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The coast is falling in here in California. Parts of the coast are falling into the ocean. That's what Larry was talking about there. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. I've got open phone lines. You want to join me? You can. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. And check this out. If you're watching us via twitch.tv, I will send you one of these pictures if you give us your name and address. And on the flip side is Muhammad Ali and me. And there we go. There it is. And then on the other side is just me. Bottom line is, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
God bless America, Pedro. Both my life. Hey, baby.
Baby, baby, baby. Baby, baby, baby. Baby, baby, I got the feeling, baby. Baby, sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down.
The crowd now cheering the challenger. Let's get over to our champion, Joe Louis. Joe, looking in towards the champion's corner. He's still standing up. They're going to make him sit down. What do you think is going on in Sonny's mind at this point?
Well, I think Sonny now is beginning to worry now. At least his opponents begin to worry now, because I think that they feel now that they have all the confidence he needs and go home to defeat Sonny. So I think that the corner now begin to worry a little bit now.
Now they're working, as we know, with our camera shots in there. Below the left eye, they've already worked below the right eye. There you see them. Joe Foligno trying to keep that cut closed. Do you feel as though Sonny being busted up a little bit, puffed up a little bit around the face, will this make a difference in Liston's thinking?
Well, it has to make a difference, because Liston now, I think he don't see too well out of both his eyes now, because they're pretty well puffed out. And I think Clay got all the comfort he needs now, so I think that he can't even go on winning now.
They might be stopping it. That might be all, ladies and gentlemen. Get up there, Joe. Get up there. Get up in the ring.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
That is a tease for hour number two. Of course, hour number two, Muhammad Ali, Sonny Liston, and Reuben Hurricane Carter will go through the trio. Of course, Reuben Hurricane Carter, at one point in time, considered the best middleweight on the planet. Or was he just overrated because he went to jail? I mean, did he kill those guys? I mean, you know, the jury's still out. Anyway, that and more, hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. And speaking of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, you know, we're talking welterweights all the time, and I think this guy, Virgil Ortiz, might be one of the guys to really keep an eye on, so we'll talk about that in depth. Now, of course, last night, not too happy with the fact that the results were on Fox, Fox Sports, but the bottom line is we had a Fox card put on, of course, by Mr. Al Haymon, of course, PBS Sports, PBS Boxing. Bottom line is Caleb Plant, Sweet Hands, they call him, 21-0 now, 12 KOs, outpointed, how can I put this? So, Caleb Truex. They both got the same name. I guess that's a popular name over there across the pond or something like that. But the bottom line is, ain't too many Calebs here in the United States. But the bottom line is, it was a battle of them. And, of course, a fortnight ago, didn't Canelo Alvarez, the aforementioned world champion, 160 pounds, didn't he take out a guy named Caleb as well? Yeah, bottom line is, lots of Calebs in boxing, especially at 168. But this guy's supposed to be the best. Sweet Hands Plant, Caleb Sweet Hands Plant, now 21-0, 12 KOs. I wasn't impressed. He pitched a 12-round shutout over Truex. Of course, 121-08 on the scorecards. If you score 10-9 for each round, 12 to zip is 121-08. I just think the guy lacks it. I don't think he's a complete fighter. I just don't think he's the real deal. I think he's just a guy that's going to be able to go out there and make a couple bucks for Canelo Alvarez. And just like the rest of those guys, he's probably going to follow the Canelo Alvarez inside the distance. Maybe not. He's a big, strong guy. But, you know, Canelo was able to stop Sergey Kovalev, able to stop big guys like that. Guess what? You can stop super middleweights. And that's where he's fighting right now, 168. Of course, the fights I want to see with Canelo Alvarez are with Charlo. And I keep screaming about this week after week after week after week. Maybe a third fight with Gennady Golovkin or something like that before Golovkin gets too old. I mean, pretty soon Golovkin's going to look like me and Cuddy. I'm serious. You keep him around long enough, he's already doing the Just for Men. Okay, he's already doing the Just for Men. So the bottom line is, if you don't fight him real soon, that's not going to happen. And it's not going to be anything when it does happen, because you're going to smoke this guy in a couple of rounds and everybody's going to say, oh, look at Canelo. Canelo smokes Golovkin. Yeah, but he waited till Golovkin was like 55 years old. So I'm not down on that. Speaking of Fox, they're coming back on the 27th of February. Of course, it's the same day that Canelo Alvarez is fighting on the Zone. And of course, Canelo Alvarez is with Eddie Hearn. And this is a PBS and the aforementioned Al Haymon promotion, but the former WBC 168-pound title holder. I didn't think he held the title, but I guess he did for a minute. Anthony the Dog Durrell. 33-2-1 out of Flint, Michigan, 24 KOs. All I can say is he's had crummy water for about 5-6 years now. And of course, the governor was recently booked on a criminal charge for giving people in Flint, Michigan tainted water. I kid you not. You look it up. But the governor was criminally charged. It was a couple of misdemeanor charges, but the governor was charged, or the former governor of Michigan was charged for poisoning the people of Flint, Michigan. I kid you not. Look it up. That's not a scam. It's not fake news or anything. That's the real deal. Anyway, the Dog Durrell is going to take on Kyrone Davis, 15-2 with 6 waxes, February 27th on Fox. Also on the car will be 18-year-old Vito Milenko. 7-0, 4 KOs, and 19-year-old Jesus Ramos. Of course, these guys are all the PBC up-and-comers. Good luck to them. Bottom line is, not too impressed. Billy Dibb was in action. Former IBF featherweight champion Billy Dibb, now 47-6, 27 KOs. Basically reduced to that of a club fighter. And, you know, some guy that shows up and does exhibitions, because he stopped a kickboxing world champion last night in his pro debut. This is getting popular. That was getting popular. It's not getting popular with me. It's not. Exhibitions aren't popular, okay? And guys taking on guys from another sport aren't popular. I mean, why don't football players start playing baseball players? Why don't basketball players start golfing? I mean, why not? Why? I mean, because that's what's happening here. The crossover is not working. Every guy that attempts to crossover is getting lit up like a White House Christmas tree. I mean, do I need to talk about Conor McGregor? Floyd Mayweather, old as he was, as old as Floyd was, and Floyd was old, 40-something years old, I mean, he slapped Conor McGregor. He didn't lose a minute against Conor, I don't think. He had control of that whole fight. Conor McGregor, a big, tough MMA guy, couldn't do it with his hands, even though he had an amateur boxing background. What I'm trying to tell you is, these guys, the crossover, it just doesn't happen. From MMA to boxing, it ain't happening. They can do the crossover from boxing to MMA. I don't think that's going to happen either. Ryan Garcia, the aforementioned Ryan Garcia, the kid from Victorville, California, of course, the WBC interim lightweight champion, 135-pound champion. He says he's going to go to MMA in 3 years. Come on, man, be serious. Don't be talking that crazy stuff, because MMA is a wholly, totally different world. Let me tell you my little experience. They had a Gracie gym in my old neighborhood, and I wasn't living in my old neighborhood at the time, but it was on 30th and San Jose Avenue in the Outer Mission. So anyway, I saw it was a Gracie gym, and I said to myself, you know, I might try that. It was like 1992, 1993, one of those years. Anyway, I went down there, and I got myself in good shape. I ran myself down to like 145 pounds. I was in really, really good shape at the time. Now I can't get near 55, maybe. Anyway, so I get myself in real good shape, and I go in there, and I spend a couple of days, and I explain to the guys what I want to do. I say, you know, I might want to do this MMA stuff a little bit, but I'm a boxer, per se, and I don't know. Anyway, so they took it easy on me the first day. I mean, they really did. It wasn't the time where, you go into a boxing gym, you usually get beat up the first day, they send you home, and then you got to contemplate whether I want to go back or not. No, the first day, they sort of treated me with kid gloves, the boxer, the radio guy, the writer, all this kind of stuff. They were having fun with me. The second day wasn't so pretty. I'm serious. I mean, like, every time they got me on the ground, it was like they were going to kill me. And I'm a good ground fighter. Ask Tony Barnett. Ask any of those guys in the hood. I mean, I can fight these guys on the ground, but not these guys with these Brazilian skills. It's like they're little crabs or something like that. They can fight on the ground. This guy was fighting on his back at one point in time and doing better than I was on top. So what I'm trying to tell you is that just wasn't for me. And you get the crossover, it just doesn't happen. People think it's real easy because you're an athlete. You know, like Michael Grant was a great basketball player and a football player, of course, 6'7". I said to myself, man, this guy can fight. He can punch. He's going to be heavyweight champion of the world, right? He folded like a cheap pup tending against Lennox Lewis. Was a Leah. Some guys just, you aren't made for it. You know, like Mike Tyson says, everybody's a tough guy. Mm-hmm. Until they get hit in the mouth. That's when things change. Upcoming boxing on February 17th, of course, Janelle Baruchachiga is going to take on Mark Reyes. That's the welterweight contest. That's going to be on Showtime. Showtime getting in the mix here. That's right on. So that's good because they had a card last week. Anyway, February 13th, it's going to be Josh Warrington and Mauricio Lara. That's going to be a featherweight bout. February 13th as well, Joseph Jojo Diaz versus, I won't go with this guy's name, we'll call him Shab Rakhimov. The IBF 130-pound title's on the line. And Patrick Teixeira and Brian Castano is going to clash for the WBO junior middleweight title. Speaking of middleweights, a former junior middleweight champion, I'll talk about, we'll get to that in hour number two. But looking at the rest of the schedule here, it's not all that impressive. I mean, but there are fights happening. February 20th, this one looks pretty good. I'm talking about unbeaten Oscar Valdez. Wasn't he like the Olympic gold medalist from Mexico and taking on Miguel Berchtold for the WBC super featherweight title? I think Berchtold's only lost one time. Valdez is undefeated. I believe that's 130 pounds. He's a former WBO 130-pound champion. That's going to rock. Now, February 20th, the bad boy of boxing returns. No, not Scott Cuddy. Adrian Broner. I mean, you know, remember he came on. Remember he was on the show? He was getting a haircut. Do you remember that one? He was on the hill, and I kept hearing, you know, Blood, I'm going to tell you like this, man. I'm going to knock this dude. And I say to myself, what the hell is that buzz? So I asked him, hey, Adrian, what's that buzz in the background? He goes, oh, man, I'm getting a haircut. You couldn't, like, you put off the time for an interview? Oh, no, man, I'm getting a haircut. Anyway, he had to get his haircut. I think that was the last time we interviewed Adrian Broner. But anyway, bottom line is Al Haymon's coming back February 20th. Al Haymon has him coming back February 20th on Showtime against, guess who? TBA. What does TBA mean? See, in some people's minds, it means to be announced. In boxing, it means to be annihilated. That's what that is, to be annihilated. February 20th on DAZN. God, I got a hard time with this guy's name, but the European welterweight title will be on the line. Josh Kelly, and it's a guy named David Avassan. Of course, February 27th, the comeback. Not the comeback, really. Another appearance. We just talked about him. Of course, the kid himself, the pound-for-pound king from Mexico, Canelo Alvarez, once beaten junior middleweight, and now super middleweight at one point in time, light heavyweight champion, of course, beating Sergey Kovalev, beating Kovalev down. I mean, beat the bigger guy. That was quite a feat. He was quite a feat doing that, stepping up to 175 pounds, because he's not that big of a guy. Anyway, the 27, he's taking on a guy named, Avni Yurdum. And Yurdum is supposedly a good fighter at 168 pounds. He's ranked number one. That's about all I know about him. Mauricio Sulaiman said he could fight. He was on the show last week. Of course, the president of the World Boxing Council and the son of Mauricio Sulaiman. In fact, you know, I might play a little of Mauricio Sulaiman, of Jose Sulaiman, a clip in hour number two to talk about unity in boxing. He was talking about this like in 1995, and here we are in 2021, and the promoters aren't putting the fights together. I mean, there are fighters out there, but the promoters aren't doing it. They refuse to do business with each other. You have to do business. Listen. You have to do business with your enemies. You do. I mean, when Don King and Bob Arum got together, they made the best fights because they got their top star against his top star. They went back and forth. They put it on the line. There was winner takes all, essentially, all right? But the promoters nowadays, Eddie Hearn, the aforementioned Al Haymon, Bob Arum, even Bob Arum's still sticking and stalling. I mean, Bob's got this fight. He supposedly had the American rights to Tyson Fury, and he sort of squandered that. I don't know how he blew that, but he squandered. Of course, they canceled a fight that was supposed to take place in January. That didn't happen. He had to cancel camp, according to his guy, Kenny Rainford, who appeared on the show, our UK guy. He's part of the Tyson Fury training camp. He said that they had to cancel camp, that the fight wasn't happening because of Bob Arum not coming through with the money. So Bob not coming through with the money? That's sort of hard to believe. Don King not coming through with the money? Sort of sad. You know, here's a guy that millionaire many times over, right? About 5 years ago, he had a deal where he put up something as collateral. He put up like $500,000 in these coins, and these coins were worth about $6 million. Well, guess what? He only got the $500,000 for $6 million worth of coin. Don King, not the sharpest business mind in the world anymore. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Dig this. Everybody plays a fool sometimes. There's no exception to the rule. Listen, baby.
Nunes' hands are down, and she's walking Ronda down. She tags her again.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The guitar of the mighty Jeff Tamblier, Jefferson Starship, Starship, Tower of Power. I can go on and on. The bottom line is one of the baddest dudes ever with an average white band. One of the baddest dudes with the guitar around, pound for pound. We call him the Hendrix of Funk. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA, of course. The best fighter in the world as far as women are concerned, the world of mixed martial arts, of course, is Amanda Nunes. She took out Chris Cyborg Santos. A bit of a surprise there, because I told you, they stacked the deck against Santos. I'll get to that in just a second. But anyway, Amanda Nunes is going to take on Megan Anderson. That's going to be on UFC 257. UFC 256, what could I say? Wasn't all that impressed, of course. Talk about Conor McGregor getting lit up like Dustin Poirier. That was somewhat predictable when you really looked at the basics on paper. And you had a younger guy who had, you know, been doing good, had not lost, had not gotten severely beaten, that kind of good stuff. Talk about Poirier, of course, a young tiger. He lost to Conor McGregor 6 years ago in 7 years ago in 2014, but 7 years is a long time, and Conor's had a lot of drinks between now and then. And what am I trying to say? Conor's an alcoholic. He's just a drunk. I'm not trying to say he's your stereotypical Irishman, but he is. I mean, he's just a drunk. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. I mean, the stuff that he did throwing the hand cart through the bus window, what kind of crap is that? Anybody else be in jail for it? White Irishman, he was drunk. He had a few drinks. Let him slide. Yeah, I guess so. Bottom line is, Conor McGregor got lit up like the White House Christmas tree, and Dustin Poirier just beat him down in that second round. Boom, boom, boom. It was all over. Maybe that is the career of Conor McGregor as far as boxing is concerned, because if he won, they're going to match him with Manny Pacquiao. Of course, Manny Pacquiao now is a guy that's a man without a title. They call him the WBA champion in recess. He was the WBA 147-pound champion, 42-year-old congressman, and take it back, a senator from the Philippines, soon to be president, I think, in their next election. He's going to run into the Conservative Party. But Manny Pacquiao is no longer the WBA guy. We'll get to that in a little bit. But Yuri Urgas, I think a Cuban guy, is the number one guy now as far as the WBA is concerned at 147 pounds. Now, the WBA, in all their honor and glory, before I get back to the world of, I think I'll get to it. Yeah, let's talk about the WBA just for a second, of course. The WBA sanctioned these fights that Don King had on Friday night. And they were like the most terrible fights you've ever seen in your life. I mean, they just were. I mean, as I said, one guy, Romain Sterverm, had like 42 D breasts, and the other guy had like 50 breasts with FF cups. I'm kidding you not. I mean, these guys was just really, really, really ugly. And the fact that, you know, the man that started off with the Rumble in the Jungle back in 1974, the biggest fight of all time at that point in time, of course, talking about Ali and Foreman, Muhammad Ali going into the jungle, the Zaire, Africa, in order to attempt to reclaim his heavyweight championship. Of course, it didn't happen. I mean, George Foreman melted down. Of course, George was cut about 6 weeks before the fight. They said, hey, guess what, George? You're cut. George said, okay, I'm going to go home for 6 weeks. I'm going to go home for a month and train in the United States. I don't like being here because the black people here don't like me. And they went to the airport. Mobutu said, no, no, no. I'm going to talk about the president of Mobutu, of course, of Zaire. Now I think it's called the Congo. But he said, no, 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 you're not going anywhere. They had armed guys surrounding the plane. They took away his passport. Bottom line is, George wasn't going nowhere. So George said he was slightly intimidated at that point in time forward. In other words, he had to fight with Ali. He thinks that a lot of that had to do with the fact that the delay of 6 weeks, the 42-day delay, is what really hurt him. No, no, no. What really hurt you was the fact that you got tired beating on Muhammad Ali. You were beating on his arms. He let you beat on. It was dope on the ropes or rope-a-dope. Call it what you want. But, George, you got what you had coming to you. Of course, George Foreman, a big soft guy on TV. Golly gee whiz, let me say, you had some cheeseburgers. When I saw him when I was a kid, he was a bully. He was beating up guys like Cuddy. In the gym, I kid you not, we're talking guys like 5'9", 170 pounds, 175 pounds. He's beating up these guys. He's weighing 215, 220, 230. I kid you not. George Foreman was a bully. Of course, he brought that German Shepherd to Africa with him. And that didn't bode too well because, you know, the only ones that have German Shepherds in Africa are the slave masters. Yeah, those are the only ones that had German Shepherds, and the German Shepherds were for to enforce fear amongst the slaves. So what does George do? George tries to indoctrinate himself with the people over there by bringing German Shepherds with him. So I am the slave master, essentially, is what he was saying when he got off the plane with those dogs, okay? And that's why they took the dislike in George. And, of course, I remember they were yelling in the crowd before the fight even took place. In fact, during the fight, kill him, Ali. Ali Boumaé, and would essentially meant kill George Foreman. Of course, Ali would stop George Foreman in the eighth round. George got tired, went down, couldn't get up. Of course, he would come back and regain the title like 20 years later, of course, against Michael Moore. And what's Michael Moore famous for? Get knocked out by an old man. Ooh, yeah, that's it. I mean, Michael, I was heavyweight champion. You were heavyweight champion of the world? Yeah. Who'd you lose to? George Foreman. Wasn't George Foreman like that fat dude that ate hamburgers from Wendy's and that kind of thing? You lost to him? You think, yeah, that's why Michael Moore doesn't make public appearances. That's why he doesn't come out anymore. I mean, he had some head trips before he lost to George Foreman. I kid you not. Not the most severe guy as far as personal well-being is concerned. But at the end of the day, he did capture titles, of course, at light heavyweight. He was the WBL light heavyweight champion. I think he was like 25-0 with 25 knockouts, and he was incredibly tough at 175. Couldn't be beat. He was the guy that was able to suck down to 175. Emmanuel Stewart, of course, his trainer at the beginning, part of the Kronk team in Detroit, was able to sweat him down to 175, man, and he was rocking and rolling at 175. Of course, as a heavyweight, left a little bit to be desired, but he won the heavyweight title. Got to give him props for that. I'm talking about Michael Moore. Of course, Michael has some gun issues, too. Don't give Michael a gun. Please don't give Michael a gun. Canelo Alvarez, I said February 27th. February 27th, the Zone's going to go with two cards. It's going to bring in Joseph Parker against Joseph Junior Fa. Junior Fa's a Samoan guy. Joseph Parker's from New Zealand. I guess they're going to try to draw from that side of the world as far as ratings are concerned. But I got to say this about Parker. You know, Don King tried to buy his way back into boxing the other night, of course, with his card with Manuel Char and Daniel Bryan. Of course, it ended up being an interim WBA heavyweight title fight. But he tried to buy his way back into boxing. And I tried to lay out a plan for him a couple years ago, and he was in better health, okay, than he is now. I said to him, I said, Don, I said, Joseph Parker is a WBO heavyweight title holder. He said, yeah, and I think I know who he is. Well, I said, he's got a purse bid coming up. I said, you know, and I think the purse bid is going to be somewhere around $2 million. In other words, I think you can get this fight for $2 million. I said, so if you put up $2 million, I said, Godfather, you'd be back in the game. You'd have the WBO champion. You'd be part of the mix. And he goes, anyway, he stalls it. Didn't have the money, I don't think. And then, of course, as I said earlier, I alluded to before the break, you know, he had to put up some money as far as a collateral was concerned. I think in a Ricardo Mayorga, tax case or something like that. Mayorga was saying there was a contractual dispute going on, and Don King had to put up some collateral. So instead of putting up regular, you know, money, dollars, he put up like $250,000 worth of these silver dollars. Now, each silver dollar is worth about $4. Well, Don only got $1 for each one. So that just shows you how much he slipped. In other words, he lost 3 or 4 times what the money was worth, at least 3 or 4 times what the money was worth by giving up the coins for collateral. But my question Don King at that point in time was he broke or is he slipping? Which one is? It's either one or the other. Can't be both. Has to be one, has to be other. Is Don King slipping at 88 years old? We know Bob Arum isn't. I mean, give Bob his prop. Massive Bob down there at the Top Rank Plantation doesn't like it when I say that, but, you know, he's 88 years old as well. He's still kicking it. The difference between those two guys? Oh, here I go. The difference, not money. One smoked weed and the other one drank. I kid you not. That's why I think they're able to rock and roll at their age. Don King drank. I mean, I told you he put me to bed. I used to go, oh, Don, we're doing like the first, Mike Tyson comeback fight when he fought the pizza guy, Peter McNeely. And, he's got me doing interviews with like Poland and all these different European block stations at all these odd hours in the morning, but he's paying me good bucks. You know what I'm saying? I mean, King paid you good bucks. So anyway, I'm doing all these off-the-wall interviews at off-the-wall times and this and that and down there in the press room, and it's only me and him down there at like 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and that was it. And I would go to bed at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I'd go to bed, right? And I'd see my phone, the red light. The red light would be blinking and blinking and blinking. It'd be blinking about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. Don King was ready to go back to work at 5:30, 6 in the morning. He only took 2 hours sleep. Two and a half hours. I kid you not. Like the ex-radio guy here in San Francisco, Ray Taliaferro, the late night icon from KGO Radio. I mean, he only slept a couple hours a night. But Don King was sleeping 2 hours a night and drinking whiskey on both ends of that, on both ends of it. So Don drank. Don never took care of himself. Don never walked anywhere because he needed to have regarding exercise, something like that. Sort of like the Donald Trump syndrome when it comes to exercise. That was Don King's MO. So, you know, he got heavy. And, of course, he had barbecues at his house, not once, not twice, but daily. Of course, he made neighbors filed a lawsuit against him down there in not Clearwater, Florida, one of those cities down there in Florida, of course, claiming that their entire houses smell like barbecue 24-7 because Don King just kept them ribs going, baby. And you know, he would eat a slap of ribs at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and then we'd have prime rib and steak at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and he's still alive at 89 years old. Okay, but he drank hard. And when I last saw him personally, I think it was 2013 in Budapest, Hungary, we had to stand him up a couple times. He couldn't stand up on his own. He wasn't drunk, but he couldn't stand up on his own. You know, I mean, he had some health problems back then. So that was the time, of course, he took me to that meeting, that hysterical meeting in downtown Budapest. He says, "Hey, Pedro, what you doing?" I guess it's about 12 o'clock, 12:30 in the afternoon. I'm in Budapest. We're staying at the, I can't think of the hotel right now, in famous hotel. Anyway, he says, "Hey, Pedro, what are you doing?" I said, "You know, nothing. Just kicking in. Then go out and have lunch." He goes, let's go downtown. He goes, "They want me to speak somewhere. I'm going to go downtown and speak for a couple minutes." He goes, "Why don't you come with it? Don King speak for a couple minutes." That's an understatement. Anyway, he said, "Why don't you come with me?" So I said, okay. So me, him, and this ex-Miami cop went down there. And, you know, me, Don King, and him are sitting at the dice. The three of us are on the dice, and everybody else is, like, sitting around. There's about 150 Hungarians there, and they're not smoking. It's a non-smoking room, but they're all, you know, they're having a few drinks, and they're eating the food. They're having a good time, and they're socializing, this and that. And I tap my microphone. You know, like the one in front of me right now, I tap the microphone to make sure my mic wasn't hot, okay? So I looked over at Don. I says, you know, I looked around the room, and everybody looked like my mother. You know what I mean? Like white, like Norwegian white, right? I go, "Don," I said, "you know, you're the blackest dude in here, and I'm second," or something like that. I didn't put it in that way, but I can't use a vernacular on air that I said that day on the stage. So anyway, Don says back to me, "Pedro, they only let niggas in here with money." And that his microphone was live, and that went out over the air, in fact, the entire room, and everybody just went silent just for a second. Nobody laughed. Nobody realized that was just Don King being Don King. But the bottom line is, 89 years old, put on the show Friday night. If you started off with the Rumble in Jungle, and Ali and Freya Foreman, of course, and did the Thrill in Manila, Ali and Frazier, of course, the third time, and all the Mike Tyson fights and Julio Cesar Chavez fights, of course, and I can go on and on, and all the great champions over the years. And then you do what you did Friday night. It was like, it was pathetic. It was sad. It was sad. You know, I mean, I don't want to say that I'm ashamed. I would be ashamed of my past association with him, but I think that Don King should be ashamed of the show that took place Friday night. It was that bad. The Battle of the Breaths. That's what they should call it. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look in the world of boxing, MMA, of course. Hour number one of two today on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217. Want to say hello to Miss Annette V, and who else? No, that's about that takes care of it. Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look in the world of boxing, MMA. We are live on Twitch.tv. In fact, if you send me your name or address, and we will send you one of these pictures here. Where is the picture? Oh, here it is. Here it is. Picture's here. One side's Muhammad Ali and me, and the other side is just me when I was skinny and slim. Bottom line is, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Waiting on me. Oh, baby, you see things my way. But not a word do you say. You even look my way. Yeah. Girl, I'm spending my times, wasting my
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Boys.
Greg Adams, graduate of Westmore High School, of course, turned down the Joliet School of Music to join Tower of Power. This is him in East Bay Soul. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA, of course. Boxing in Tijuana last night, unbeaten featherweight Rafael Espinoza, 16-0, a 10-round winner over Carlos Arenales, now 25-3 with 14 KOs. It was the Grand Hotel in Tijuana, Mexico. Of course, you know, when I was king of Tijuana, and I say king of Tijuana because I used to go down there once a month and do the American broadcast of the Spanish television for promoter Mayan Promotions. Mayan Promotions, of course, until Mayan's father got stabbed by the mafia down there, and then all our TV shows just came to an end. Imagine that. We're doing these TV shows. We're rocking and rolling in Tijuana once a month for like a year and a half, 2 years, and then I get a call that my employer's father got stabbed. And I'm thinking, you know, my employer's father got stabbed. That's not a good thing, but he's in Tijuana. He probably gets stabbed. No, no. They stabbed him to keep it, to get his son out of boxing. Like that, and his son got out of boxing. He didn't want to lose his father. He got out of boxing. That just ended it. But the bottom line is, at one point in time, man, we were doing fights at the Tijuana Auditorium. I was going out with the prettiest sportscaster in town. That was pretty cool, you know, having a good time down there. I remember that one time we were going home in a taxi one time, and we got pulled over, and I had these ring car girls in the car, and I wasn't doing anything with the ring car girls. I was just getting them back to the hotel, okay, the Best Western. Anyway, so the cab driver, the cops think I'm a pimp, and I've got these girls, and he's trying to get money out of me, and I don't speak Spanish, so I told him my name is Pedro Fernandez. It didn't work out too well. Bottom line was, I didn't spend him any money, and the girls I knew were very innocent. Yeah, in Tijuana. But you are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. Hour number two, I'll expand on the, Sonny Liston controversy, of course. How he lived, how he died. Muhammad Ali will weigh in on that. Of course, Larry Merchant will be back. He'll be weigh in on that as well. So, hour number two, throwback, Sonny Liston, and more on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Stay tuned for hour number two, live on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and about 1,000 other internet platforms live. You're tuned to Ring Talk. Stay tuned, hour number two.